Well, Chris isn't here, so expect me to get lost some point here today. We are in Romans. No, we're not. There it was, right there. We're in Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8. I went on the website last week just to look at the website, and Lexi puts the, since Isaac's gone, Lexi puts the sermons on the website, and she had Revelation chapter 7. Yeah! Wow, he did a whole chapter! Something like that. I'm going, fine. We're doing another whole chapter today. So, Revelation chapter 8. We're in the kind of the hard, it's not, it's a hard to realize section of Scripture, or of Revelation, because it's just amazing how bad it's really going to be. And that's kind of what we're looking at today, because we're going to be opening the seventh seal and starting the trumpet judgments. But we're going to be looking at chapter 8. I want to go ahead and read through the chapter. When the Lamb broke the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. Another angel came and stood in the altar, at the altar, holding a golden censer, and much incense was given to him, so that he might add to the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints went up before God out of the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and threw it to the earth. And there followed peals of thunder and sounds and flashes of lightning and an earthquake. And the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound them. The first sounded, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the earth was burned up. And a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. The second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. The third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of waters. The name of the star was called Wormwood, and a third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the waters because they were made bitter. The fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars were smitten, so that a third of them would be darkened, and the day would not shine for a third of it, and the night in the same way. Then I looked, and I heard an eagle flying in the mid-heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound." So it goes from bad to worse as we get into this. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this warning. Lord God, it's a warning that's here to show us what will happen. We say, well, now how can any of this really happen? And the truth is that some of it has already happened before. Lord God, and as we look at this, we look around and we say, well, maybe it is possible. And you know what? It is possible because it will happen because you have said it will happen. Just like you said Christ would come, and he did. Just like you predicted the fall of Israel and how you predicted all of this stuff. Father God, because you are God, and it's in your plan. So we do trust you, and we praise you, Lord, that we are secure in you. And we know that when this happens, Lord, we'll be rejoicing with you and at the marriage feast of the Lamb. We'll be in your presence. But Father, there will be those people here who need to understand that it's your last-ditch effort for them so that they might know the truth, they might see the truth and be set free with the truth, even though it might cost them their life. Father God, at least it would be true freedom. It would be eternal. Lord, we love you. Help us as we get into this. Help us to realize that we have an obligation to show others and to tell others of your love, of the grace that they have available to them right now. Father, we love you. In Christ's name, amen. Revelation, written by John the Apostle, he is written to show us Christ, to show us, to reveal Christ to us. And he saw a vision on the island of Patmos, and he explained Christ in that vision. But he also received a message for the churches, and we went through that in chapter 2 and 3. We looked at the various churches and the different messages that he had for them and how we can even apply that today. Then he saw a vision of heaven, starting in chapter 4, and what we realize is that the elders that were around the throne of the church, the representation of the church there. So at that point, what we looked at is the rapture of the church, and I don't know if there's any papers still over there, but I had some papers with many reasons, I think 34 or 35 reasons why we believe in the pre-tribulational rapture of the church, and we looked at all the evidence of that. After that, what we saw in heaven was the creatures that were there, the four creatures and the elders around the throne, and then the angels. And we saw the worship that went on in heaven. And we saw the worthy one that was found, the lamb that was slain, which is Christ, before the throne. And the fact that he was able to open that scroll, the fact that he was able to break the seals, and how great that was, because John was so upset that no one was found worthy, and yet he was found worthy. So what we're looking at, we have looked at the fact that the first six seals have been broken now. The four horsemen of the apocalypse, the first four, and then you had the martyrs as number five, and then six was the terror that would happen. And as we get into this, I want you to see that the last one, the sixth one there, because when the seventh one opens, it opens a whole new set of judgments. But the sixth one there will happen probably at the end of the tribulation, where the people are so terrified, they say, we know this is from the Lamb of God, we know this is the judgment of the Lamb, the wrath of the Lamb, and we want the hills to fall on us, we want the mountains to fall on us and just kill us. And so you see that at the end of the tribulation. So all of these, that's why I say this isn't necessarily chronological. Some of these judgments will happen kind of at the same time or maybe apart just a little bit. I don't believe that the seven seals and the seven trumpets and the seven bowl judgments are all the same judgments. All right, as we get into this, we're going to see that they are different. But they are judgments that are happening kind of somewhat at the same time or periodically. And I'm not going to try and put, you know, dates on any of them or when exactly they happen. But what I do know is at the end of the trumpet judgments, you have the end of the millennium. And at the end of the bowl judgments, you have the end of the millennium. So, but not necessarily the beginning of the millennium. The tribulation. I'm saying millennium. But not necessarily the beginning of the tribulation. Whereas the seal judgments, it was, you saw that it was the beginning because it was a time of peace, the first one. And then a war after that, and then famine, and then death. But all of those could be happening while some of these are happening. So I believe, though, that when you're talking the seal judgments here, we're talking about the midpoint of the tribulation on. Because what we're talking about is extremely hard. Very difficult to see. But it's the seventh seal. What we're going to look at is the seventh seal that is broken today. In chapter 8, verse 1, we see silence. The key here is silence. When the Lamb broke the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Silence in heaven for about half an hour. Now, when we look at that, John here is coming at it from a human perspective. And to say half an hour means just a short span, all right? So a short time could be, we don't know, because time really isn't relevant in heaven. We don't know that time is a key in heaven, but it is here on earth. And so John is speaking to us. He's speaking about this seventh seal. And we know that the seventh seal holds all the rest of the judgments, the trumpet and the bowl judgments. Because when the seventh seal is open, it's showing what is going to happen. Now, if you think about it, that scroll had seven seals on it, right? And the six seals have been opened, now the seventh has. So now the scroll is able to be opened. And so as it is opened, and you see Christ there with it open, and later on we're going to see that he doesn't let John write down what he hears. And so part of that, we're not going to see what's on that scroll until we get to heaven. We're not going to know. And John wasn't able to tell us. But as he opens that, I believe he has seen the judgments and all of the angels and the elders, they're all seeing the rest of those judgments as he opens that. But there's silence. Now, that's from a human perspective, but why? Why would there be silence? Well, you think about what had happened before this, right? Think about what had been going on, because you had the speaking that sounded like trumpets. You had loud shouts, you had thunder, you had creatures who were shouting, and the elders and the angels and the songs that were going on, and the worship, the loud worship, the angels saying, "Come!" to the four horsemen of the apocalypse. All of those things were huge and loud. And the worship, we saw over and over and over how loud the worship was and how joyous it was and how all-consuming was. And then suddenly, it becomes deathly silent. And so John said, hey, there's something different. Something different. Well, if you look back in the Old Testament and look at what happens here, because what does he do? Look at verse 2. Look at verse 2. It says, "And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them." So those seven angels, we're not told who they were. We're not told which angels they were. But the only thing that we know from Scripture it could possibly be was Gabriel was said at one point that he was an angel who stood in the presence of God, stood before the throne. So it could be him. All we know is they're probably very important angels, but they're given trumpets, right? But verse 3, because verse 3, we look at the incense that was given. "Another angel came and stood at the altar holding a golden censer, and much incense was given to him so that he might add it to the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar which was before the throne." You see, what happened in the Old Testament, what happened in the tabernacle of the Old Testament is they would come in and they had their, you had the different courts, the court of women, you had the court of the Gentiles, you had the court of men, and you had the holy place and the holy of holies. You had all of these different sections. Well, part of what was there was the altar. The altar, remember the martyrs are the ones who had died, their souls were under the altar. That was the sacrificial altar. But there was also an altar of incense. And at that altar of incense, it was always going. It was always going. Because it represented the prayers that were ascending to heaven. So it would be, you know, you would have the smell from the incense, but you would also see the smoke. So it was a visual that smoke was going up. And at one point during the feast that would go on, and even during the Sabbath, they would be singing, they would be worshiping, it would be loud, because there were always animals coming, they were always sacrificing, and it was busy, and it was loud, but at one point, all of that would stop. When the priest would go to that altar, and he would take a bowl, and he would fill that bowl with the ashes, not the ashes, but the coals that were on the incense. And he would take that, and he would swing it around, and at that point, everybody became silent. They became silent, and they were praying in their hearts, right? So that picture, that was a visual of what's actually happening in heaven, right? So John related it back to that. He knew that silence part was where that altar of incense was what was going on. And it was called the golden altar in the Old Testament. It was called the golden altar. And he says that here in chapter 8. He says in verse 3 that he stood at the altar holding the golden censer, and much incense was given to him that he might add it to the prayers of the saints on the golden altar, which was before the throne. So he's relating it back to what John understood in that Old Testament, the golden altar. So it was the altar of incense. And when we were in Israel, we were at that Armenian church, and that priest did that. He had a little bowl, and on top it was covered, and it had holes all over in it. It was on a long chain, and he would hold it. He would walk around like this and swing it. And so he came up to and it had smoke coming out of it. And he came up to that slab of marble that Christ was supposed to have been laid on, and people were bowing down and kissing it. And he would come up there and he would swing it. And then he'd go on another side and swing it, all four sides, and he would swing that incense. And that was to represent that the prayers that were going up to God, because the smoke was going up. But I want you to see this in verse 3. It said, this angel, and it's, I don't believe the angel here is Christ, because he is the Lamb. He's represented by a title, usually, in Revelation. But he says, another angel came and stood at the altar holding a golden censer, and much incense was given to him. So he didn't have the incense. It was given to him. All right, so this incense that was given to him was added to the prayers that we've already talked about, the prayers of the saints. What Christ said, this is how to pray. Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. And I believe that's a lot of the prayers. Lord, bring on your kingdom. Bring on your kingdom. But those prayers are added, and the prayers that were from the saints under the altar that were crying out, Lord, how long are you going to wait to exact vengeance? Avenge us. All right, so those prayers that are going out on thy kingdom, prayer, but there's incense that's added to that. And I believe the incense that was given to him to add to that was the essence of salvation. The essence of salvation. Christ, what he did, I believe it was given to him by somebody important, which would have been the Lamb. The fact that he came and he lived a perfect life, he died on the cross, and he rose again the third day. So there is the essence of salvation, the payment for that sin. So when that incense is added to the prayers of the saints, guess what that does in God's eyes? That becomes valuable. Those prayers become sweet. Why? Because it's added with the salvation. So we're talking about people who are saved, people who understand what Christ did, and adding that incense. And this is, by the way, this isn't gospel. All right, this is an opinion. But I believe that what he added to those prayers of Lord God, save our Lord God, help us, Lord God, keep us, Lord God, come. What's added to it is the validity for those prayers. The validity being Christ and what he did. He paid the price. But look at verse 4. And the smoke of the incense and the prayers of the saints went up before God out of the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire from the altar and threw it to the earth. And there followed peals of thunder and sounds and flashes of lightning and an earthquake. So all of these things are just the beginning. This is the first, this it's not even the first trumpet. All right, this is just a precursor to it. So you have silence in heaven. And then the incense before the altar and the smoke going up before God, and the angel takes that coal, that burning stuff, and he throws it towards earth. And so just the precursor of it is thunder and lightning and all of this going on. So it's to bring fear. It's to bring that fear on. Why would it bring fear on? Well, because this is the wrath of the Lamb. This is all the wrath of the Lamb. And this is the seventh seal is broken, so this trumpet, these trumpet judgments are going to produce fear. And it's for a purpose. It's for a purpose, all right? So let's look at the trumpet judgments, starting in verse 6. And the seven angels who had seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound them. How did they prepare themselves? Well, I don't have a clue, you know. Puckered up their lips. don't know. You know, that's what I do when I play the trombone. You know, to get a boom moving again, right? Now, I don't know. I don't know how they prepared them, except I believe that they were saying, okay, now we need to follow God's commands here. Whatever God commands here, we're going to do. Whatever it is, we're going to do. Maybe that's the preparation. I'm not sure. But you look in verse 7. The first sounded. This is the first trumpet. The first sounded, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. There's the first trumpet, because I believe this is where the great tribulation begins. You realize that the tribulation is in two parts, right? The first part is called the tribulation. Second part is called the great tribulation. Because everything gets so much worse. It continues to get worse and worse. Why? Because this is the wrath of the Lamb. This is the wrath of God being thrown to the earth. And what I want you to see is the first four of these, and we're going to go through the first four judgments, the first four trumpet judgments today. The first four trumpet judgments are on the earth itself. They are a climate change, you might say. Believe in climate change? Well, this is a climate change, all right? It's a huge climate change. So all of these are going to be about what is happening to the earth. And if you see that, it said there was hail and fire mixed with blood. Say hail and fire mixed with blood. Well, how can that be? I mean, I understand the hail. And the fire, I guess I can understand because you have lightning. But blood? I don't understand it. But think back. Think back. What happened in Egypt? Happened with the plagues? Well, you had a plague of hail. You had a, remember the blood? Remember that the blood was, the Nile was turned? The water was turned to blood? Remember that? So you had, this stuff has kind of happened before. I believe it's a picture. And what were those things? But they were judgments. They were judgments on Egypt, right? So God isn't just producing something brand new, but I don't understand the raining of blood. I don't understand it. But I do know that God says it is here. And I don't believe it's symbolic. And then a lot of this, you'll have folks who say, well, no, this is just symbolic. And I'll show you that in the next one. But I don't believe it's symbolic. I believe that there are people going to be terrified because there is blood coming from heaven. Somehow, raining blood. But a third of the trees, a third... A third of the trees, a third of the earth, and all the green grass. Think about that. What's that going to do to life? A third of the earth gets burned? A third of the trees? It's huge. Look at verse 8, because this is the second trumpet, the second trumpet judgment. The second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the creatures which were in the sea that had life died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Now, I was looking at one commentary, and it said, well, that's a symbolic, and those ships were actually the church, and a third of the churches, instead of being destroyed, were just corrupted. They were just, and you know, so... You can put anything in here you want. I'm striving not to put into Scripture, right? Because it's called eisegetical, to insert into Scripture what you want to say, instead of exegetic. Exegetical is taking Scripture and drawing out what it says, believing what it says. I'm seeking to be as exegetically correct as I can. But some of this we've never heard of. We've never seen. However, the people in Egypt saw stuff that we've never seen. You know, God can do stuff that we've never seen. But a third of the sea is going, and later on it's going to be the whole sea. But right now, a third of the sea. So what's that going to do? That's going to affect everything. It'll affect the water vapor, your rains, all of that. It's going to affect fishing. It's going to affect travel, ships and the sea creatures. All of them. This is catastrophic stuff. Huge stuff. And you know, look how it happened. Because it says, this is really funny. It says something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. This week, just this week, coincidental that is, if I believed in coincidences. Anyway, this week I was looking on the news. And on the news, on Fox News, in fact, it may still be there, there was an article about a great mountain. In fact, it's called a cryovolcanic mountain. It's as big as a mountain, the biggest Mount Everest, I think it said. Anyway, something like that. A great, and that's why it caught my attention. It's a comet. It's a comet that's coming towards the Earth. It goes around every 71 years. A lot of comets go around every 1,000 years or so. Well, this one goes around every 71 years. Well, this comet has actually broken up. It's broken into a bunch of pieces, but it's going to come by the Earth in April of 2024. So we're going to be able to see it then. I'm thinking, wait a second, that just described it as a mountain that's coming towards the Earth, you know? And so all of this, I was reading that, and I'm thinking, yeah, how can that happen? And then I read that, and I'm going, oh, maybe that's how that can happen, okay? So, no, I'm not saying that that's going to hit, okay? I'm not saying that, because that would be next year, and I don't even think this is until, like, the midpoint of the trib sometime. But what I'm saying is it actually becomes viable. You start looking at things, and they actually become, well, maybe that could happen, all right? Just like this, we could get off on a lot of stuff, the whole war in Israel and how the, you know, Russia and all them. All of these things could be. Doesn't mean they are. But the fact is, now it's possible. You know, because now we have what? We have the internet. We have cell phones. We can look at what's going on in Israel right now, right this minute. And so all of this is just bringing on God's prophecy, bringing on the prophecy. It may not happen soon. It may happen longer. I believe that's getting really close. And what are we to do? It's like we're to see the signs. I mean, Christ said, look, you can see the sign. You can tell if it's going to rain or not, but you can't tell what's going on. So yeah, we look at, you know, I'm not saying we should go hide on a mountain, but what we should do is see the signs and warn others, show others the truth. Look at verse 10. The third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven. Again, a big something, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of waters. The name of the star was called Wormwood, and a third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the waters because they were made bitter. The word wormwood actually means bitter. It means bitter, and it was a medicinal plant at the time. Well, I have no idea where I am on my notes, but that's all right. It was a medicinal plant.
It kills parasites.
So it could be used for something good, but if it gets into the water enough, it will kill you. It will kill people. So it's not, I mean, yes. But it's bitter. It's extremely bitter, if I understand it right. It's very bitter plant. And if it gets in there, it makes the water very bitter. And it will kill you. It's poison. It can be a poison. Or it can be used right. Well, like anything. It can be used right or it can be used wrong. But a third of the water became bitter. A third of the water became poison. Is it a meteor are they talking about? Because the word star is something, an object in the sky. So is it a meteor? We don't know. I can't tell you. But I do know that what it says here is a lot of people are going to die. Because of it. They're going to die. Look at the next one, verse 12. The fourth trumpet. The fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun and a third of the moon and a third of the stars were smitten, so that a third of them would be darkened, and the day would not shine for a third of it, and the night in the same way. So you have a third less sun, moon, and stars, less light for a time. What's that going to do to the plants, to people? I mean, you ever heard of the sad thing, you know, SADD, seasonal affected daylight disorder, something like that. Anyway, and by the way, that's a real thing. But what's it going to do when even a third more of it's dark? I mean, to people, not just to people, but think about your vegetation, what vegetation is left. There's still going to be some, and what that's going to do to that. So it's not, and later on it's going to be, at times, it'll be totally dark. But, and this, by the way, this isn't going to last. It'll change again. But you think about this. All of these things that are happening, and people still aren't realizing what's going on. And you know what we're going to find out later? You know what their reaction is going to be? Well, God hates us. Well, what's wrong with you, God? Well, why aren't you, if there's really a God and he really loved us, he would not let me be so miserable. Right? That's what their reaction is going to be. And they'll curse God and blame God. Why? Because of the self-focus that people are born into. I mean, they do that now. They'll say, well, they probably won't do that then. Yeah, they will do that then. We'll see that. But they do it now. And we do it now at times, don't we? We say, why, God? Why did you let Mason throw up in the middle of the night on Saturday night when I'm going to preach Sunday morning and I got to sleep on the floor with a bucket? And I'm, you know, it's God's fault. It's all God's fault because he doesn't like me, all right? Because we forget that God really is in charge and he does love us. So therefore, what he allows in our life is for what? For us to gain hope. Why? Trials bring perseverance, perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. You would not hope in God if you didn't have tribulation. You realize that? These folks that he is putting them through and allowing them to go through this, they are people who need to trust Christ. This is pretty much a last-ditch effort. Because at the end of the millennial, I keep getting those mixed up. At the end of the tribulation period, if there are still people who haven't trusted Christ, guess what? They're not going to be allowed into the millennial kingdom. Only those who are saved and still alive are going into the millennial kingdom as far as being reproducing on earth, being married and given in marriage. I believe we will be there helping him rule, but we're not going to be mortal in that sense. So basically he's giving them, this is an act of grace. Look at it and say, no, this is horrible. Yes, it's horrible. It's horrible, but it can bring them to the truth. It can bring them to the truth of God's and his true love. So that's going on in the heavens. So what we have here in the first trumpet, you had the stuff thrown on the earth, the hail and the blood and everything. The second trumpet, the mountain that was thrown into the sea, the blood. The third trumpet, you had the star, the meteor, whatever, going down, and the fresh water. It's going to mess up the fresh water. And the fourth trumpet, you see the light. Going to mess with the light. So these are the things that happen to the physical aspect of the earth. All right? But look what he says in verse 13. Then I looked, and I heard an eagle, and that word eagle can also be translated vulture, flying in the mid-heaven, which is the center point of the sky. So everyone will see this in the center point of the sky, and actually here, because it says, I heard an eagle flying, saying in a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth, because the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound. So basically, what he's saying is, it's going to get worse. We thought this was bad. You think this is horrible. It's going to get so much worse. There's still three left. And this is just the trumpet judgments. Here's, you have even more judgments after that. But those three, the next three, are going to be on the life of people, the pain of people. Right? Not just on the earth, not just that aspect, but on the people aspect. And it's going to be so much worse. And that's what he's talking about. It's a warning of what is worse to come. And why is to call people to the truth? To give those who at this point haven't chosen to follow the beast, follow the Antichrist, which we'll get into all that. And if they haven't taken the mark and haven't followed that Antichrist, then they still have an opportunity to turn to Christ, to turn to that Lamb. So the last three affect man's life and pain and death. But those are going to be the remaining blasts, the judgments. So we need to catch this now. We need to catch this as we're going into this. We need to catch this now to show Christ to others while we still have the opportunity. So at some point, we're going to be out. We're going to be raptured. And so they need to see, the people that don't know Christ need to say, hey, you know what? Those people, they knew that something was coming. They knew the truth, and now they're gone. So maybe they were right, right? And they'll have a lot of witnesses to tell them the truth, but they're also going to have a lot of deceit going on, because Satan's going to be deceiving all those he can. But these things are only the beginning of the great tribulation part. They're part of that great tribulation. And they're so much worse as they go along. Remember chapter 6? What's going to happen at the end of the tribulation? Chapter 6 says it's going to be terror, huge terror. And it's all because of some of these things. People who don't understand God's will, they'll blame him for what's going on, like we said. It'll be all his fault. But he does care. And he does care so much he made a way of salvation. And that's the way of Jesus Christ. To be in Christ, which is to have trusted in Jesus Christ, what his death, his burial, his resurrection, his forgiveness, and his giving of new life. Salvation, the essence of, and which is good news, right? The good news, the gospel. The word gospel means good news. And so sometimes we even blame him, but you know, all that way of salvation is his act of grace towards this earth. Yes, his judgment will come upon the earth, but his act of grace has already come. If you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, then accept him today. Take his free gift, because it is a free gift. It's a free gift of salvation. If you have accepted Christ as your Lord, your Master, your Savior, then live it out and point others to Christ. Live it. Because this is going to happen. It's prophesied by God. This will happen. And these are literal things that will happen. I don't know how else to interpret that. I mean, sometimes he says, but Christ says, I am a door. I am the door. I am the gate. Or I am the bread of life. Well, he's not really bread. We understand that. But when we see this, it's the only way I know how to interpret it is just literally. It's going to happen and it's going to be horrified. It's going to be a terrible thing to live through. And yet the people that live through it can have the opportunity in trusting Christ through it. So trust him. If you've trusted Christ, then trust him now. Because what he says will be true. And show his love to the world. You have the opportunity. We have the opportunity now to show Christ's love to the world. We don't have to go through this. We already know who he is. So show that to others in your life and tell them about Christ. Let's close in prayer. Thank you so much, Lord, for this chapter. This is an amazing chapter of horror. And Father, it's going to happen. But Lord God, it's prophesied here so that we can see this and warn others. Hey, trust Christ. You don't want to go through this. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, even now. Father God, we can show them, we can tell them that, we can warn them. And Lord God, even if they don't now, they may then, just because they'll start seeing this. And they'll see that the rapture happens, they'll see the signing of the peace treaty, they'll see the Antichrist, and they can say, you know what God said really is coming true. Father God, they may have to give their lives for that, but Lord, we may have to give our lives for this. Father God, we love you. We honor your name because of who you are. We ask that you would impress upon us the truth of your prophecy, the fact that this will happen, and Lord God, that we should be about our Father's business. We're not trying to put a time on anything, but Lord, we see the signs of this time. We see what's going on today, and it's so evident what we're seeing. Father God, whether it happens now or whether it happens later, our prayer, thy kingdom come. Lord God, help us to live like thy kingdom come. We love you in Christ's name. Amen.